This morning, good. Let's sing together to the Lord this morning. You are God alone. Church this morning. Let's just greet one another and fellowship for just a moment. Pray this morning. Father, we thank you that we can be together this morning and we can lift up your name. We ask that you be glorified in this place today through what we sing, through our worship, and from the word that will go forth as it's preached. Lord, I pray that you'll receive all honor and glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Let's sing, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God." Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever.
For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. O trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I shall rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord our God.
Says, for endless days we will sing your praise, and that's what we want to do this morning. Let's continue singing his praises by singing Blessed Assurance, a little bit different arrangement of it. Let's sing it together.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a taste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Oh, 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 this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. My Savior all the day long. Oh, 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 oh. Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior, wonderful. wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Wonderful Jesus. Death could not hold you. You are victorious. Praise to the risen King. Death could not hold you. You are victorious. Praise to the risen King. Oh, what a Savior.
Glad we had that little interlude. That gave me time to get a drink of water. Vocal cords just aren't quite back yet. Let's stand one more time, if you would, and sing. Waiting here for you just before we have our message this morning. If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you've loved us from the start. Waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high in prayer. And it's you we adore, singing Alleluia. You're everything you promised, your faithfulness is true. We're desperate for your presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you singing Alleluia, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. We're singing Alleluia. Waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you
adore, singing alleluia. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing alleluia, alleluia.
We're glad that you're here today. You can be seated. We have Dr. Carl Reese is going to come and speak for us this morning, and I'll let him introduce himself this morning, if you would.
Let's see if I get this. Am I on? What's that? What was that old phrase we used to hear all the time? Can you hear me now? I never know. I'm not. I'm at best semi-literate when it comes to the technology of today. So if they tell me to push a button to turn me on, then the only thing I know to do is push that button. So I hope I've done that right. I'm glad to be with you this morning. I should say we're glad to be with you. I have my wife here, one of my greatest blessings on the face of the earth. My wife Martha is seated over here. As you see in your bulletin, we are retired International Mission Board missionaries, served with International Mission Board for 28 years. Most of that time in the country of Honduras. We love Spanish-speaking countries. God has been good to us. He brought us back to the States and put us on staff at Ridgecrest Baptist Church as pastor of missions and evangelism. We still get to help them with their mission projects, especially those in Latin America. And in recent years, he's allowed us to go to places such as El Salvador and Ecuador, Peru, in addition to those to Italy and so forth. Most recently, though, he's been allowing us for the last 5 years to go each year to Cuba. Now, I want you to know that God is doing some great and marvelous things in Cuba. I wish we had time to share with you some of the stories of the way God is working there. The government, the communism wanted the people to believe that the government would be their hope, and that the government would be their provider, and the government would be their protector. And what the people in Cuba have learned is that the government can't do that. Neither there nor here, by the way. And they've learned that God is their hope. Jesus Christ in them, in us, the hope of glory. He's their hope. He's their protector. He's their provider. And they have learned that. And God is doing some marvelous, marvelous things in Cuba, as he's doing around the world. I'd ask that you pray for us. We'll be going back in June of this year. And just looking forward to that and sharing with the folks there and just seeing again what God will do. We get to preach in house churches. There's been no new church building built in Cuba, at least not legally, since 1959. The church that we work with has a building. They built it in 1956, was the last time they built on it. But the building won't hold all the people. They have some 20 or more house churches around the community, around Santiago and El Cane, where we work, and we get to preach in those. We can witness to folks. We visit them in their homes. We've seen people accept Christ in their homes. We've seen them accept Christ in the services, in the house churches. And in our 5 trips that we've been there, just in those trips, and that's not to mention what God does in the intervening times through the great work that pastor is doing there. Over 100 first time professions of faith have been made. So I say that to say that God is at work all around the world. He's at work in places like Cuba, where we might think that the work is stymied, but God is God, and God does His thing as He wants to do it. Wherever he is. I want to share with you this morning. I could go on and on talking about Cuba or other places that we've been. It thrills me. And my children sometimes tell me, "Daddy, when you get started, you sometimes have a hard time finding a stopping place." And that is true. But I promise you that I will find a stopping place this morning. I usually tell folks, I preach until I get done. And when I finish, I hush. And so that's my promise above everything else today. I'll preach until I'm finished. When I get finished, I'll stop. But I want to share with you something this morning that's come to be very precious to me. It's a passage of Scripture that I believe God gave me as His special psalm for my heart in probably the most difficult time of my life. I don't know where you are this morning in your walk with the Lord. I don't know where you are in your daily life, in your family life, in your community life. I don't know, but I know that we live in a difficult time. We live in a hard time, and there are frustrations, there are difficulties, and sometimes we find ourselves wondering where we go from here. Do we continue? Is it worth it? Maybe you've come to that place in your experience where you feel like you've reached the end of your rope. And you just don't know what to do. Maybe you've reached that point where you don't even know how to pray. Maybe you've reached that point where you find it difficult to pray. And what do you do then? What do you do when you don't know how to pray? Or when you feel like it's just too difficult even to pray? I've been there, and I suspect that some of you have too. Some of you may be there today. You may be there right now. If not, if you've never been there, sooner or later you probably will be. And so I have news for you. When you get to that point and you don't know what to do, there is something you can do. When you reach that point of frustration, of difficulty, of hardship, that you think you can't even pray, there is something you can do. And I want to share that with you this morning. All of this comes out of a personal experience of mine in one of the most difficult times of our life. We were in Honduras at the time, and we got some, what was for us, devastating news about our son's health. I don't have time to share that story with you. I'd be happy to sometime, but don't have time this morning. Let me just say to you, and I probably ought to go on and say, our son is doing well. Our son, his wife, are very active at Ridgecrest Baptist Church. Their two daughters are two of God's greatest gifts to us, so they're doing well. And let me go ahead and say that, and that's part of the story, really, of how God has worked in all of this. But during that time, when we were going through that time, I began to read the Bible in a way that I'd never read it before. I came to the book of Job, and I read Job and identified with Job as I had never identified before. Job and I are good friends now. I feel like we've been through some of the same kinds of things. But then I came to the Psalms, and as I read through the Psalms, they spoke to me in various ways, but I came to Psalm 55. And if you want to turn to Psalm 55 this morning, that will take our text from Psalm 55. But I want to read it in a way, the way God gave it to me. As I read through Psalm 55, there were certain portions of it that just seemed to jump off the page. And I would read it again, and it'd be the same way. And it was as if God was giving the psalm to me in that way as my psalm, I really believe that Psalm 55 is God's gift to me as my personal psalm. It's not my favorite psalm. My favorite psalm is 139. But this is my personal psalm, and I share it with you the way God gave it to me. I'll be reading the first two verses, verses 16, 17, and 18, verse 22, and the last phrase of verse 23. That's the portions that jumped off the page to me every time I read it. And I believe that it's in that form, it's God's psalm to me. Listen to what God said to me through this psalm. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. That's how I felt. But I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. And there's another translation of that portion that says, he will never leave the righteous fallen. I like that. He will never leave the righteous fallen. And then the psalmist winds up his psalm by saying, as for me, I trust in you. Come what may, I will trust in God. God gave me that psalm, and I began to read that psalm. I started every day with that psalm that way. I ended every day with that psalm. And many times during the day, it would come to mind. One morning as I was leaving to go to the office, got in the car, backed out, and I'd left a cassette in the cassette player of the car. And it was a Gold City Quartet cassette. I love Southern gospel music. And it just so happened that the song that began to play immediately, now I've just read Psalm 55 this way, it's on my mind, and this is the song that started and played. Weary bodies, troubled minds, they will defeat you every time. Circumstances all around may look dim, but even if you have to crawl, Jesus wants to hear it all, and you'll be all right if you can get to him. When you don't feel like praying, pray. When you feel you can't get through, pray. Precious to the Father's ear are three words, Lord, I'm here. When you don't feel like praying, pray. There's an altar just for you, and it only takes the two, just one humble heart and one holy lamb. Satan says you cannot pray. Then God removes him from your way, and weak and broken, you can cry, Lord, here I am. When you don't feel like praying, pray. When you feel you just can't get through, pray. Precious to the Father's ear are three words, Lord, I'm here. When you don't feel like praying, pray. And then there's a last little refrain to that song that says, when it's hardest to pray, sweet victory awaits. When you don't feel like praying, pray. In that moment, God put those two together, Psalm 55, the way he gave it to me, and this song that's titled, When You Don't Feel Like Praying, Pray. He put those together, and I believe that God taught me something about prayer and gave those two things to me as my psalm and my song. From God for my difficult moments. I share those with you this morning, and I share with you three things that God has taught me about prayer. I said that when you come to that time in your experience, when it's so difficult that you just feel like you can't pray or you don't know how to pray. Sometimes maybe you feel like you don't even want to pray. I told you there is something you can do. And that something that you can do is pray. What do you need to do in that moment when you feel like I just can't pray? What you most need to do probably is pray. But the psalmist, I think, tells us that there are some things that we can do in those moments when faced with difficulty, when things are hard, when you're frustrated, when you're in despair. Not only then, but especially then. What is it that you can do? Let me share the three things that God showed me, that God spoke to me, and shared with me that I believe that when you don't feel like praying, when it's hard to pray, these three things you can do. In first place, you can call out to God knowing that He will hear. That's important. When it's so hard even to pray, you can cry out to God in full confidence that He will hear. What does He say in that psalm? What did He say in those verses through which He spoke to my heart? He said, listen, the psalmist said, listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. And then he said, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. I want you to know that God hears the prayers of His people. God is a prayer-hearing God. He is ever attentive to the cries of His people. Listen to what His Word says. Psalm 34 alone. Listen to some of the phrases from Psalm 34. Verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. Verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. Verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, then He said, I will hear from heaven. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And then He goes on to say, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Of course, there's a key in there, that little phrase, according to His will. But the Scripture tells us that God hears us when we call out to Him. I would challenge you to find in Scripture, Old Testament or New, a time when somebody prayed seeking God and His direction, and God did not hear the prayer. I don't think you can find it. Now, I know there are phrases, times in the Scripture where God says, thus and so, if you pray this way, if you do this thing, if you ask in this matter, I will not hear you, or I will not answer. It's a semantics thing, saying it's just flat out no. God will not honor that kind of selfish prayer. But when we seek God, seeking His direction, He hears our prayers. God hears every prayer uttered. What about Moses, when the children of Israel needed food in the wilderness? King David, when he had sinned and cried out for forgiveness? Hannah there in the temple, barren but desired a son, and she asked God to bless her. The Apostle Paul, when he didn't know which direction to take on his missionary journey, and he called out to God, and God enlightened him and directed him. Even the Lord Himself, Jesus, the very Son of God, there in His most trying moment, or at any time when He needed direction, what did Jesus do when he was going to call his disciples. Who would he call? Who would they be? What did he do in the Garden of Gethsemane in that most trying moment of his life here on this earth? He called out to God, to the Father God, and God heard his prayers. All of those and on we could go. It came to a moment when they needed strength, when they needed direction, when they couldn't go on in their own human capacity. And they cried out to the Father, and the Father heard their prayers. He always had, and he knew that he would in that moment. I want you to know that as a child of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to him, and you are never in a situation, you are never in a place, you are never where you cannot call out to God. The world might shut us out from other people, but the world cannot shut us out from God. The ever-present Father God who always hears the cries of his people. When you pray, you can be assured that God will hear your prayer. Nothing can keep you from calling out to God. Prayer is not a matter of physical posture. I shared with some ladies yesterday at the annual WMU meeting that I can recall in Honduras, a brother from another country, but it was in Honduras, and he always had us stand when we prayed, and that's fine. There's not anything wrong with standing when you pray. But he would always have us stand saying, "Porque más agrada a Dios," because it pleases God more. God just likes your prayer better when you stand. Well, I'm not sure that's true. Some folks do have their feelings about the posture we should assume when we pray. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and wrapped upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front with both thumbs pointing to the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels sticking up and my head pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer ever said, the prayingest prayer ever prayed, standing on my head. Well, that's kind of humorous to us, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. It matters not where we are. It matters not our physical posture. Prayer is a matter of heart. Prayer is a matter of expressing our needs to God. And the writer of Hebrews said, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Wherever you are, in whatever situation you find yourself, with others or alone, standing or sitting, or on your head in a well, it makes no difference. You can cry out to God, open the window of your heart, and let him see your real need, and he will hear your prayers. Now, I need to go on. Like I said, I will find a stopping place. The second thing, God taught me that I can cry out to him, knowing that he'll hear my prayer, but he also taught me that I can be honest with God and tell him exactly how I feel. Tell him exactly what's on my heart and in my mind. There's no need to beat around the truth with God, to beat around the bush. Tell him the truth. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 55? My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. God, this is how I feel. You can tell God that. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us about prayer. And I think he teaches us there that we can be honest with God. We can tell God exactly how we feel. God knows our needs even before we bring our needs to him, Jesus tells us. And then in verse 9 and following, when he teaches us to not just babble on, but to tell God the truth, he says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then he teaches us to present our needs to the Father. God is personal. I'm so thankful that he's a personal God. He knows us. He knows our needs. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows how we feel even before we tell him how we feel. It's not that God needs to hear it. He already knows. It's not that God needs to hear it. It's that we need to express it. Prayer is kind of a spiritual therapy for you and me. We need to express how we feel to God. And it just be honest with him. Have you ever been mad? Have you ever been mad at God? Yeah, one honest one. Have you told him you were mad at him? It's okay. Tell him. He already knows it anyhow. Go ahead and tell him. It'll help you. And he already knows it. Express how you feel. I always think of Moses when I think of this. God called Moses to a great task. And Moses made excuse after excuse after excuse. And God very patiently dealt with each one. But God really couldn't help Moses until Moses told God the truth. And I used to preach on this. I love that passage in the old King James Version where Moses said to God, Lord, send whom thou wilt. I like that, wilt. You know, God, send whomever you will. And I'd preach that, and boy, I had Moses. Okay, Moses has finally got it, and he's ready to go now. That's not what Moses is saying. In the Hebrew, what Moses is saying is, Lord, send somebody else. I don't want to go. And when Moses told God that, God could deal with the real problem. And to his credit, Moses did go. After he became honest with God, told God the truth, God helped him, and Moses became the great liberator of the Hebrew people. As a parent or a friend, have you ever said to someone, just tell me what's on your mind? Just tell me what's on your heart. I want to help you with it. You can be honest with me. You can trust me. Let me help you. Have you ever said that? Have you ever had somebody say it to you? Well, how much more so with our loving Heavenly Father who wants to bless you and me with only the best? He can't really do that the way he wants to do it until we're honest with him. So when you cry out to God, knowing he's going to hear you, be honest with him. Tell him exactly how you feel. You can trust him. He's a God of undying love and tender mercy. So just tell him what's in your heart and on your mind. He'll hear you. He'll understand. And he will answer your prayer. And that brings me to the third thing God taught me. When we don't feel like praying, we can call out to him knowing he'll hear. We can be perfectly honest with him. And we can trust him to answer our prayer. And we can trust his answer. So that's the third thing. You can trust God to answer. And you can trust the answer he gives. Again, going back to Psalm 55. But I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon I cried in distress and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me. Then cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never leave the righteous fallen. As for me, I trust in you. There's an old gospel song that we used to hear. As hard as I try, I can only remember one phrase of it. I don't know why I can't remember the rest of it, but one phrase, and that phrase is, the answer is already on the way. And that's enough. That's enough for me to remember. I believe that's true. I believe that God always answers the prayers of his people. Again, can you find a prayer in the Old Testament or the New Testament where God did not answer the prayers of his people? I find none. God always answers his people. Sometimes he says yes, and that's the good answer. That's the one we want, because then we get what we're asking for, you know. That's an easy one for us to interpret. Sometimes he says no, and that's a little bit difficult because we don't get... He doesn't answer the way we want him to answer. But when he says no, it's because he knows it's best to not give us what we want. He always answers it the best. But there's a third answer that's very difficult for us, I think. And it seems to create the most trouble for us. And that's when God says, wait a while, my child. It's not time yet. Yes is easy. And no is usually not that difficult to discern. But sometimes God says, wait a while, my child. It's not time yet. And sometimes that's hard. But God knows when you and I are ready to receive what he knows is best for us and for his kingdom. He may answer yes, he may answer no, and he may answer not yet. But of this one thing you can be sure, he will always answer, and the answer he gives will always be the very best for you and for me and for his kingdom's sake, for the glory of his good name. Now, earlier we read some verses about God hearing our prayers. Let's go back to those passages for just a moment. Back to Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me. The poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his trouble. We read verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears them. Then it says, he delivers them from all their trouble. And on it goes to say that God not only hears, but he also answers. God will hear the prayers of his humble people. And when he hears, he will answer, and he will answer with the best. You can trust his answer. You can trust his answer. You may not understand it in the moment, but you can trust it. The Apostle Paul prayed at least three times, we know about. that God will remove that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. Some folks say it was a bad mother-in-law. I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that, especially not in the presence of women. But we don't know what it was. But it was something that hindered Paul. It was a difficulty for him. And he prayed that God would remove it. God did not remove it. But instead he said to Paul, "My grace will be sufficient." Sufficient for Paul's every need. And I believe that what God did, instead of removing that thorn in the flesh, is that God took that thorn in the flesh and he showed the Apostle Paul how he could take it and in his presence and in his power could convert Paul's weakness into the very power of God in the Apostle Paul's life. Has there ever been a greater missionary than the Apostle Paul? I think not. Look at what Paul accomplished. Because he cried out to God in his need and he turned it over to him. And he trusted the answer God gave. God answered Paul not in accord with what Paul requested, but in accord with what he knew was best for the Apostle Paul and best for God's kingdom's cause. And he converted that weakness into the very power of God in Paul's life. I believe that God will do that same thing in your life and in my life. If, even when it's so difficult, if we'll call out to him, and if we'll tell him exactly how we feel and leave it in his hands, trusting his answer. Jesus promised, "I am with you always." He said, "I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." He said, "Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete." You can trust him when you call. And you can trust the answer that he gives to your call. There's never been a prayer of his people that God did not hear. And there's never been a prayer that God heard that he did not answer. And there's never been an answer that he gave or will give that is not the very best for his people and for his good name. When it's hardest to pray, sweet victory awaits. So when you don't feel like praying, when you feel like you just don't know how to pray, when you feel like you just can't pray, then pray. Just pray. Heavenly Father, you are God, and you know what we need. Help us to call on you. Help us to leave it with you. And help us not just to hear your answer, but to trust it. And Father, I don't know where these good folks are in their journey with you. I don't know what they're going through, but there may well be somebody here who's finding it difficult right now. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to that heart and you would help them just to call out to you and to trust you to work. Father, bless in these moments as we bring ourselves to you In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together and sing this morning. All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found by you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Let's sing that first verse one more time if we could. All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found by you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater.
You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we're so thankful that we get to come before you in prayer. Lord, our way of communicating with you. Lord, I pray for the needs that have come to the altar this morning. Lord, you know each and every one of them better than we will and ever will know. Lord, I pray that you'll work in the midst of this church family, in the midst of the people that are here. God, thank you for your word this morning by Dr. Reese, Lord, and how we need to be in prayer. Help us to find time for prayer because you want to hear our prayers and our petitions, Lord. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If our ushers will come forward, please. You can be seated.
Can you bow as we bless the offering? Lord in heaven, we just come now thanking you that when we pray, Lord, that you hear us. And Lord, that we can tell you anything. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, I know you must scratch your head and wonder sometimes at the things that we let stop us dead in our tracks. But Lord, we thank you for listening. We thank you for answering. We thank you for the yeses. We thank you for the noes. And Lord, we thank you for not now. Lord, we come now asking you to bless this offering, not because we need to give it, or not because you need for us to give it, but Lord, because we need to give. Lord, we just pray you'll bless this church, bless this ministry. Lord, I thank you that the word today did not go out on dry land, that hearts were touched. And Lord, thank you for prayer. In thy name we pray, amen.
This is a Gold City song, and I hear God saying, Diana Edwards, love your brothers and sisters and keep sowing seeds of kindness. I cast my bread upon the water by helping my brother. Struggling on life's stormy sea, I'll be sowing a good seed by doing a good deed that'll come back to me. Well, I picked up the good book and took me a long look. I believe in each and every part. I sure rejoice in knowing about the reaping and the sowing. I really took that lesson to my heart. I cast my bread upon the water by helping my brother struggling on life's stormy sea. And I'll be sowing a good seed by doing heaven, but there sure is a heaven waiting, purchased by our good and loving Lord. And I'll go on surviving, trusting and surviving, holding on, expecting my reward. I cast my bread upon the water by helping my brother struggling. Upon helping my brother struggling on life's stormy sea. Oh yeah, and I'll be sowing a good seed by doing a good deed that'll come back for me. I cast my bread upon the water by helping my brother struggling on life's stormy sea. Oh yeah, and I'll be sowing a good seed and doing a good deed that'll come back to me.
Gene has an announcement he would like to make this morning.
All exited very, very quickly. As director of missions, we receive recognitions to our churches within our association, 27 churches in total. This is a certificate of recognition in recognition of First Baptist Church Mountain Grove as the highest per capita giving church in the Wright Douglas Ozark Baptist Association to the Reuben L. South Missouri Missions Offering 2017. Your gifts set the pace. The balance of the gifts that were received, 10% of those will come back from Jefferson City back into our association to be a part of missions work. So I thank you for your generosity and ask that God continue to bless our ministry, and all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you.
Let's stand together this morning and sing Revelation song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. You're dismissed this morning. Thank you for coming to church.